This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
Hey guys, it's Brenda again calling back. So I was calling back because I wanted to tell you guys some more of my stories. I know I did leave a little snippet in another call I had previously made about how I've been spiritually sensitive since the womb. So I'll go ahead and tell you a bit about what I mean by that. When my mom was pregnant with me, she did not like gain a lot of weight, so you couldn't really tell she was pregnant. We lived in like a ranch kind of house, like out in the middle of nowhere. And my dad raised chickens to sell, and he also worked in agriculture. We were used to people coming over to the house to buy chickens at all times of the day. And so my mom, when she was pregnant with me, heard the door knock, and she goes over like any other day and answers the door, and there's this man on the other side of the door talking to her about if she wanted to buy some pillows, and he's going over the pillows with her and why these pillows are great. As he's going over everything with her, he stops mid-sentence and is just staring at her and says, "You're different." And my mom was like, "What?" But she didn't say that, you know, but she was like, I was totally weirded out when he said this to me. I didn't even know what to say. So she stayed quiet. And then the guy followed it up with, "You're pregnant, right?" And my mom, she was like so confused. She's like, "I don't know how this man knows I'm pregnant. Like, you can't even tell I'm pregnant. I'm so confused." And so basically she was caught off guard. So she kind of just nodded her head like, "Yes, I am pregnant." And then right when she said that, my dad creeps up from the back because he heard her talking to this guy at the door. And so then my dad jumps into the conversation. He ends up buying two of the pillows. That guy leaves. And so my mom is like super weirded out. She tells my dad, like, "This guy said that I'm different and that he knew I was pregnant." Like, she was so confused. She was like, it's so weird. But they kind of went up on their day. The following day, she went to pick up my grandpa from the airport. And when they came back home that night, the house was full of owls outside. My mom heard them screeching and howling. And my grandpa was like, "What is going on? Like, that's not good." Like, so usually in the Hispanic culture, owls, depending on the situation the owl puts you in and the feeling you get is how you know if it's a negative or a positive thing. But in this case, it was a negative thing. And my grandpa was like, "You know, like, what's going on? You know what you have to do." And in our culture, basically, my dad carved a cross into a bullet and took it outside to try to scare them away. So he did, and he did end up hitting one. And the owl fell to the ground and made this, like, scary noise. And it sounded like someone screaming. And my grandpa ran over to see the owl. And my grandpa said it was like nothing he ever seen before. It was like a huge, 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 huge owl. And it was what he said was dead. And they went back inside and things calmed down after that. And the next morning, the owl wasn't there anymore. And that's what my mom was like, "What the heck? Like, this man comes to my house, so selling me pillows, telling me I'm different, that I'm pregnant, and then all this happens. Like, what are the odds? And then later on, when I'm born, I come home and they had me, and I am the one that asked her, because before I had her tell me this story, I asked her, "Mom, when I was a baby, my crib, was it facing the window? Because I feel like I remember my crib was facing the window." And she said, "Yes, but how do you remember that? Because you were only months old. Because when you turned one, you started sleeping with your older sister." And I said, "I don't know. I just, like, I remember." And then she ends up telling me, "Well, when you were little, you scared me one time really bad." And I was like, "Oh, like, what happened?" And she says, "Well, you were laying in bed, and every time we would lay you down, you would look out the window, and as soon as you were able to talk," which was really early on, I was the chatterbox, she said, "I would look out the window and tell her, 'The mono is coming. The mono is coming.'" And my mom was kind of like, "Oh, she's a kid, you know, like she's just talking and she's just saying random things." But every night I would do the same thing over and over and over again. Till one night I wake up screaming like bloody murder that the mono, this thing that I said was coming, called the mono, grabbed my hand. And I'm screaming, I said, the mono has my hand. The mono has my hand." And then my mom grabs my hand and she says, she's trying to calm me down. She's like, it's me, it's okay. And she says that she's staring into my eyes and my eyes are following this thing, whatever it is, because she sees that my eyes are fixated on something that's running back and forth in front of me as she's holding my hand to calm me down. And she says that she's looking into my eyes, and I have really big eyes. And she says she could make out something, that I was actually staring at something, so she would look and she didn't see anything. And she said that was one of the things that scared her the most, that she seen something in my eye but could not see it in the living room where I was looking towards. So basically where I slept, by the window, the door was open and you could see through to the living room. And the door was open because my dad had went to make me a bottle because they thought I was hungry. And well, he thought I was hungry. Mom just thought I was like freaking out. And finally they got me to calm down. And I finally was able to go back to sleep. And then later on, when she tells me this story, I'm like, "Wow, Mom, I've been paranormal since I was in your stomach and straight out the womb. I didn't even wait a couple months, didn't I?" And she's all, "Stop it." And she's like, "That's not stuff to joke about." And I'm like, "I joke about it, Mom, because it's a part of me. I'm like, I'm not afraid of things like this happening. Like, it's a part of me. I mean, as you could tell, it's been happening forever." And there was another time where I had asked my older sister, because that's at 1, 2, I slept with my older sister in her bed. And at 1, 2, 3, 4, until we moved out when I was 5 years old. And I was like about 2 years old. I woke up screaming again, saying that the hand got me, the hand, the mano peluda, which translated into English, I'm like, "The hairy hand got me, the hairy hand got me. And you're going to have to ring your bell," because we would sleep on a bunk bed on the lower bunk, and my brother would sleep on the upper bunk. So I woke everybody up screaming that something, the hairy hand had my hand on the lower bunk, the one next to the wall. So basically I would sleep in the inside and she would sleep on the outside. And it was just, I mean, like I said, I am very spiritually sensitive when it comes to things like that. And I have plenty of more things. Another time when we had already moved out and lived at the place where the phone call took place, I was taking a nap. It was during the summertime, taking a nap during the day, facing the wall. So my back was towards the door and I was facing the wall, and I have a little sister, and I heard her run in the room and then run back out. And I was like, Nena, because that's what we called her. I was like, Nena, please stop. I'm trying to go to sleep. And so I ignored it. And she did it again. And then I was so upset. I was like, Nena, you better stop it. So I turned around and there's nobody there. And I was like, okay, this girl, like, whatever. She's really fast, I guess. So then it happens another time. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, at this point, I was so upset. Like, I just wanted to take a nap. That was all I wanted to do. So I get up and I go to the living room. I'm yelling and my mom's cooking. And I was like, where's your daughter? And she's like, she's asleep. She's been asleep. I've been trying to ask you why you're yelling. And I was like, are you serious, Mom? And she's like, yeah, she's been asleep this whole time. I've been hearing you yelling and I don't know why you're yelling. And then I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I thought I... never mind. And so then I just like walk to the room. I lay back down. And again, I hear the footsteps. I did go up to my mom and asked her, well, didn't ask her, but I was like, you know, where's your daughter? Like, she keeps bothering me. And then my mom's like, she's been asleep this whole time. What are you talking about? My mom was trying to yell at me and ask me who I was yelling at. This whole time, she's like, I was hearing you like basically talking to yourself. And I was like, who is this girl talking to? So then I kind of was like, brushed it off. And I was like, oh, okay, Mom, I'm sorry. And I go to my room and I lay back down. And again, the footsteps happen. They stop right behind me as I'm trying to go to sleep. And at that point, I was like, you know what, if you're here and you're going to be here, just please don't bother me. I need to go to sleep now. I'm tired. I want to take a nap. So if you're going to be here, you can be here. That's fine. But just leave me alone. As soon as I say that, you hear the footsteps that were standing right behind my back walk towards my bed and then disappear, because I was laying on my sister's bed. And that's just one of my plentiful stories that I have. I have another one where this one was when I was older and with my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time. We were living in an apartment together. We had moved out, and his sister called us it was like 12 at night. And she's like, my car broke down. Like, I need a ride. Can you guys come get me? And we were a little while away. We were like 20 minutes away. And we said, yeah, like, stay in your car. Like, we'll be right there. And she was stranded in the outskirts because she still lives at home with her parents. And they live in the outskirts. So we drove over there, picked her up. And on our way home, she's like, here, take this shortcut. Like, this is how I get home. So we're taking the shortcut. And I remember looking at her because we were in my husband's truck. And in my husband's truck, it's a three-seater. So I'm sitting in the middle, and I look at her, and I was like, you shouldn't take these roads. They're very dangerous. Like, it's very lonely. You don't want to get stranded out here. And as soon as I say that, I look up, and it's like if this happened in slow motion. There is this thing that looks like a miniature horse, dog, gray looking thing trotting across the road. And I'm telling you, we were going fast because we wanted to drop her off because we were tired and we wanted to go to sleep. So we were driving pretty fast. And I'm telling you, everything slowed down. Like, we could see this thing trotting across the road. into the field. And all you hear me say is, oh my goodness, that thing doesn't have a head. And I turned and I looked at her and I looked at my husband and I was like, did you see that? Did you see that? She says, oh my God, I saw that. And then my husband, I look at him and he says, don't talk about it. And I was like, I just wanted to make it clear that I wasn't the only one that seen that. And then I looked at my sister-in-law and I was like, don't take this road anymore. And since then, she never took that road again. What was that thing? I don't know. Definitely not something good. It was something crazy, like the fact that it slowed down time. And we've seen it in slow motion while we're going really fast. And again, we were out in the middle of nowhere when we saw this. So I'll call back if you'd like with some more stories. Sorry that I take so long telling the stories, and I'm sorry if my stories seem jumbled. When you're just telling the story, I feel like I just get jumbled up sometimes, and I'm sorry about that. I really hope you guys understood my stories this time, and I kind of hope I outlined them so you guys could understand, because I know the last time I called, it was kind of hard for Carol to understand my story, and I'm sorry about that. I know I kind of jumped around a little bit. But thank you guys for your podcast. It's amazing. I love listening to you guys, and I love to hear everyone's stories. And thank you.
This has been a Grave Confession from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.